Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. I swear, my brothers, we are locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun. So call me Pharaoh now.
Remedy.
That's just some food for thought. So take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green.
Damn.
Money over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
Damn.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God,
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask them.
Nah.
Just get up on your knees and talk to God. Don't worry about your sin.
I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him.
This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses, damn.
I'm tired of all my people. See, that's niggas with no action plan.
And I didn't choose to rap, it just fell into a backup plan.
So let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah.
I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When they looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us? Cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers. And you can't hold us down, we hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did, I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms. Money, military, college.
All right. Welcome. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Wednesday, February the 15th, 2017. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding soul study for you today. And as you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. Spend as much time explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my sister, got a very, very important topic for you today. Then we want to continue down the rabbit trail of talking about selective claironomics versus holistic claironomics. And so we've been going through the five aspects of claironomics and the five aspects of the soul. And today we're getting to the fourth part of the soul, which is the imagination. Now, out of all the aspects of claironomics and all the aspects of the soul, this one ranks right up there at the top, because this part of the soul, in my humble opinion, is the most dangerous part of the soul. When we start talking about claironomics, we start talking about the thing that actually invokes, if you will, or has the power to actually establish worlds, This is the fundamental factor to invoke worlds. Now, the imagined images, this imagery has this ability to drive what is called the prefrontal cortex into what is called a mental synthesis. Now, today's show is a very important show. They all are important. But today's message is very important because the imagination is a part of the brain that establishes the world. And then since the imagination is that part of the brain that controls the frontal lobe, the brain does not know the difference between what is real and what is imagined based upon the sensory perceptions of the brain. Now, excuse me, I don't know if you understood what that means. But you are an imagination-driven person. Out of all of the faculties, out of everything that we talk about and everything that we discuss, your imagination is the most dangerous out of everything that we're going to be discussing. Because your imagination, the brain thinks is real. So let me say that again. The brain thinks that what you imagine in your head is real. So let me say that again. When you initiate this process of using your creative imaging, the brain thinks that that is a learning experience. The brain thinks it is a learning process. The brain thinks that though it's part of the sensory perception. The brain thinks that it's part of the imagery complex. The brain thinks that you are actually a part of a role, that you are playing a role, that you are role-playing. So the brain thinks that this make-believe situation is real. Let me say that again. The brain thinks that this make-believe situation is real. Let me say that again. The brain thinks that the make-believe situation is real. You still don't got it. The brain synthesizes. The brain hypothesizes. The brain metalizes. The brain organizes your temporal lobe to synchronize and to align your neurosynapses into a mental process or a mental synthesis that totally controls all of your physical process. I still don't know if you understand. Your brain doesn't understand that those imaginary demons are not real. I still don't know if you understand. The brain doesn't understand that what you are imaging in your head is not real. The brain releases the chemicals inside the body as if what you imagine is real. That is the most dangerous statement that can ever be made, and it also it is the most rewarding statement that can be ever be made. The brain has a regional cerebral blood flow that goes throughout your sleep-wake cycle when you imagine. So when you imagine something, the brain releases the CSF, the cerebral spinal fluid, and it flows whether you sleep or awake. And the frontal cortex or the frontal lobe or the frontal or the what they call it, front polar cortex that establishes what is called human cognition. It actually sends out the chemicals throughout the body to line up with the mental images that are in the head. This mental stimulation, again, manifests in your physical world. So your mental synthesis establishes your mental simulation, like if you sit in a computer game, and it manifests inside your physical world. You bring about what you imagine. Your imagination out of all parts of the soul, to me, is the most powerful and the most dangerous because that invokes worlds. I don't know. Today's show is like one of those shows. Today's message is one of those messages that when you look at it from all aspects of life, everything that's in your life now was an image in your head The problem is that we don't know how the imagination works, because we don't understand that the word imagination is the faculty or the action of forming ideals and images or concepts that manifest in our external reality. So the ability of the mind to create images that manifest into things, that's the imagination. Do you really understand what that means? The imagination transforms images into things. So if you can imagine bad things, it's going to translate those bad things into your life. But what if you could imagineer? What if you become an image engineer? What if you could engineer images? You would be the richest man on earth. If you could wrap your brain around what I'm about to tell you today, you would be the richest man. You would be the healthiest man. In fact, you would write your own ticket. In fact, you would create the pictures in your head in your life. You'll become what is called a pixel. You'll become a pixorial. You'll become what is called in the Bible a graven image. God said, don't do that. See, God knows the power of the imagination. That's why I say, whatever you do, don't do this. Never do this. Never, ever do this, because you don't understand its power. I didn't understand the power. I thought I did. I thought I understood the power of the imagination, and then I started imagining stuff, and then next thing you know, the things that I was imagining in my subconscious brain was manifested in my life, and then I found myself on skid row, and then I didn't understand how I got there. Because I didn't understand the imagination. I thought I did. I thought I could use my conscious brain. Because I didn't know that the magic word imagination is the word image nation. So your nation is the result of your image. So if you got bad images, you're going to have a bad nation or bad nationality. You see, brothers and sisters, the essence of the imagination, see, what we can easily see is only a small percentage of what is possible. The imagination is like having the vision to see what is just below the surface. The imagination is the ability to picture that which is essential but is invisible to the human eye. That is the essence of the imagination. That still doesn't do it justice. That pales in comparison to the true definition of the essence of the imagination and what it oscillates and vibrates and what it means. Because the imagination is the word image nation. It is the word, and it is the ability to use an image to create your world. And the brain thinks in pixels, so the brain thinks in images. You can prove it to yourself by simply saying, apple, what comes in the brain? Orange, tree, elephant, giraffe. When you say these words, they pixel in your brain. The imagination rules the brain. The intent establishes it, but the imagination rules it. Let me make sure that you understand what I just said, brothers and sisters. See, every child is born blessed with a vivid imagination. But just as muscles grow flabby with disuse or non-use, so does the imagination when it lies dormant. And you bring about what you image about. Let me make sure, brothers and sisters, everything that you imagine is not meant to be reached. Sometimes you just put the image in your head because it serves simply as something for you to aim at. Let me make sure you understand what that means. Everything that you imagine in your brain doesn't mean that that's what you're going to get, but what you imagine in your brain is what guides you to what you get. Your imagination is the science that establishes the inspiration and the uplifting of the spirit. The imagination is the part of the brain that activate the pixels of your brain. Now, these pixels, those are the smallest, if you want to use that term, elements that make up the pictures that establishes the brain. So these pixels are small pieces of subatomic dots. They are the elements of the physicality that makes up our reality, pixels. Now, a pixel is a pel, a P-E-L. So a pixel is a picture element. It is the physical, a small piece of a two-dimensional substance, for lack of a better term. And these pixels have different components of intensity, and they have different colors in the spectrum of the color spectrum, like red, green, blue, magenta, yellow. This is what is called chromatica. So when we understand the word pixel, it's a part of, and was discovered way back in, man, I forgot, like the word was established in like the 1920s. And it is a part of the smallest single component of a digital image. And so the more pixels or the more pixel content you have, the clearer the image. Let me say that again. The more pixels, the bits per pixel. So you get more pixels when you add more intensity. Let me say that again. Your pixel count determines your reality. So if you don't have no pixel count, that means that you don't have no focus. That means that you don't have no intensity. That means that you don't really want what you're trying to establish. That means that the picture inside of your head is very blurry. So when I say elephant, you got a fuzzy elephant. You don't know what an elephant is. If I say boom shakalaka, you got a fuzzy image because you don't know what a boom shakalaka is. Have you ever seen a boom shakalaka? So if you've never seen a boom shakalaka, and if I say boom shakalaka, can you put an image in your head of a boom shakalaka? No, that means you got to go get more evidence. So that way you can go with your faith to establish, get more facts to go with your faith to establish your fruit, to override your fear. Otherwise, your pixel count is not great enough for you to establish it in this reality. The reason why you're not successful in the area of cladonomics when you use your imagination is because you ain't got enough pixel count. Now, there are some of us, however, we got the other problem. We got too many pixel count. We got what's called megapixels. So megapixels, the word mega means million. So millions of pixels. So this term was established for people who live in this imagination, and they live in the dream world, and they live in this world, and they don't live in reality. And unfortunately, they live, and they don't know how to use megapixels. So they are pixeling things, and they are manifesting in their life, and they don't understand why bad things keep happening to me, because you keep imagining them. Once I heard this story, you guys, and I've said this story a few times about this guy. He was stranded out in the middle of the desert, and he said, man, it's hot out here. Wow, I wish that was a shade tree. Boom, shade tree appeared. The guy was like, whoa. Then the guy was sitting under that shade tree, and he said, man, I'm so thirsty right now. Boy, I wish I had some nice cold glass of water. Boom, water showed up. So the guy's under the tree, in the hot sun and in the desert. He got cold water, and it's scorching hot. He say, man, I sure wish it was a nice, cool breeze blowing right now. And he just imagined that cool breeze, and bam, cool breeze shot popped up. And the guy sitting underneath this tree, man, he's like, this is great. Cool. I got a glass of water. Man, I sure would like a nice T-bone steak, and booyah. T-bone steak manifested. And the dude is just sitting there in the desert, cool breeze, eating his T-bone steak, relaxing, enjoying it, everything that he imagined, poof, imagined just, and then he said, what if I'm sitting out there all by myself? I ain't got no protection. What if a freaking lion just popped up right now? I wouldn't have nothing. And bam, a lion popped up and chewed him up and ate him. That is us with our imagination. See, the imagination, the brain only processes based upon the pixel count in the brain. The brain doesn't care if you are imagining that your wife is going to leave you. The brain doesn't care. The brain just sets that in order, and it makes your wife leave you. The brain doesn't care the fact that you worried and you stressed out and you are imaging that you don't understand that your sense perceptions shape your world. And so the brain doesn't understand. The brain only understands the formula of imaging. So the brain knows that imaging is the creative ability to form pixels in your brain. And the amount of intensity, the amount of time, the amount of emotion that you apply to that image increases the pixel count. Once the pixel count gets to a certain level, the learning process of the mind, the sensations of the mind, it directs the input of the senses. It produces seeing. You become a seer. And so, in other words, the imagination draws so that way you see, the brain sees, and it solves a problem. So if you can imagine the solution to a problem, if you can imagine yourself wealthy, regardless of if you have the solution, if you know how, the brain will automatically draw the solution into your life so that way you become wealthy. And you don't even understand. All of a sudden, you have the innate ability to process and to invent stuff that solves your problems, all because you did one thing. You just imagined that you was wealthy. But what if you're imagining consciously that you're wealthy, but you're imagining or you're feeling subconsciously that you're poor? So the subconscious brain is 100 times more powerful than the conscious brain. So even though you're talking, you're walking, you're dressing, but deep down inside, you got a core imprint that says, Negro, sit down. You're slow. Nobody want what you're talking about. Ain't nobody interested. Ain't nobody going to buy your product, your service, or your office. Sit down. And so you are imagining, and you're listening to a storytelling narrative. Now, the imagination has this automatic, fundamental learning process that based upon pixels. So the brain does this. The brain acquires new or existing knowledge, skills, behavior, preferences, and the brain takes this information and it synthesizes it, and the brain formulates a process that leads to a procedure that develops a product that results in a profit that leads to prosperity, all based upon what is called neuropsychology. So the brain automatically goes through this conscious awareness using the gestation of your central nervous system to develop a particular memory-based non-associative learning pattern, meaning that the pixel count in the brain establishes and modifies the existing knowledge and behaviors and skills, and it establishes a new failure or success mechanism based upon the pixel count of the brain using your neuropsychology, your neurons. Let me say that again. The brain automatically goes through and forces your central nervous system to develop a particular knowledge, skill, pattern, purpose, behavior, value, preference that matches the pixel in the brain. So you got an imagination, and you imagine that something bad is going to happen. You don't know why, you just got a feeling something bad is going to happen. If you don't replace that feeling, the brain will automatically start your CNS, your central nervous system, and it's going to override everything that you've learned, all your education, all your personal experience, all your personal development, all your schooling, all your training, all your goals, all your motivation. Everything is going to be overridden by your neurological system, by your CSN, and your central nervous system is going to take your pixels and it's going to manifest it, because the brain doesn't know it's not real. The brain doesn't know that you're playing. The brain doesn't know that you are an actor in a play. The brain thinks, this is the most, that out of all of the messages, out of all of the parts of the soul, to me, To me, the imagination is the most dangerous and the most powerful. That's why I use it. If you could understand all neurological disorders happen neurologically because you are a photon, you are a package of light. The sun sends photons. The body can't use it. Why? The body is a neurological system. And so if you don't take these photons and turn them into a neurophoton, nothing happens in your life. Nothing. So if you don't take these images and turn them into a neural image, nothing happens in your life. Nothing. And this is what is called neuroscience. And that's why I majored in neurotheology. Because theology don't do nothing for me because I'm a neurological being. And if you don't understand neo, it's a wrap. Right now you use your ego and not your neo or your neuro. So neurological, you are a neurological being. That means that you are a neuron that uses logos. Make sure you understand, Father, touch the minds of your people, that everybody listening to this message would be activated on a neurological level, that they can override the somatic nervous system with their central nervous system, so that way the pixels, that you shall have no graven image before me. Right now, my brother, right now, my sister, you are violating universal spiritual law because you got a graven image before God. It's your ego. The pixel count, whatever you are imagining right now, it's not based upon the word of God. It's impossible because none of us will be having this conversation. I would not be doing this show if I was not violating God's law. Neither would you. You wouldn't be listening. We all would be sipping pina coladas in the beach right now. We'd be in the Bahamas. We'd be in Jamaica. We'd be down in Cancun. We'd be somewhere else. We'd be, you know, I don't know where we'd be, but we wouldn't be having this show right now because we would all be wealthy. We would all be healthy. We would all be wise. And we would all be in awesome, great relationships. We would all be manifesting. We'd all be water walkers. We'd be laying hands on the sick. We'll be casting out devils. We'll be making blind eyes. There would be no hospitals. We'll be walking around. Every hospital would be shut down. There would be no poverty. We go over to Africa and we would split rocks and water would come out. Because we could use our imagination to manifest our reality. That's how powerful it is. But we don't know. None of us knows. I don't even know. And I'm teaching a freaking class. If I knew what I'm talking to you right now, I wouldn't be talking to you. I would be talking to you mind to mind. I would be using mental telepathy. I would be like freaking old boy in the X-Men. What was his name? The professor. I would be contacting you with my mind, brother. Mano y mano. But my imagination is not there yet, but I'm getting there. One day I won't need my voice box anymore. One day I won't even need my five senses anymore. One day I won't need this body anymore. Because I'll understand the power of the imagination. The imagination, brothers and sisters, is the neurological, underestimated ability for us to take this neuron. A neuron is what the brain is made up of. And if you could understand that the word neurological, anytime you see the word ology, remember O-L-O-G-Y means logia. It means loga. It means logos. In the beginning was logia. And the word logia was God, and logia was with God. Nothing that we see that exists without the logia or the logos. So this understanding that your neurons are controlled by logia, logos, because, again, English is backwards. So neurologically or neurological science, the study of neurotheology, theology, theo is God, ology is word. So it's the ability to understand how God uses words to establish his gods. God uses words to establish little gods. Your central nervous system is your brain and your spinal cord. Your spinal cord is your spiritual antenna. The brain is the thermostat. And so the imagination controls the antenna. So you are a neurological being. But nobody taught y'all you how to use your neurological. So now you suffer from neurological disorders. So now you have a disorder or a neurological disorder. There's a disorder. That means that your neurological system is out of order. So you are a biochemical being. You are a biological, electrical, chemical being. But right now you're suffering from a biochemical, electrical abnormality. That means that your images in your brain doesn't line up with the purpose in your heart. So if you got images in your brain of alcohol, you are suffering from a neuroregenerative disorder. This is a genetic disorder. This is a cognitive abnormality. These disorders is the reason why you cannot manifest what you are imagining in your head. A neurological specialist, it is my job to assist you with removing the paralysis of analysis. That means that what you are imaging in your head is not what's in your mind, your will, your emotion, and your intellect. Your imagination. It's not on the same page as your autoimmune system. So this order, my brothers and sisters, this disorder damages your body. It lowers your immune system. That's why we get sick. That's the only reason that you get sick. Your head, your heart, your image, they're not the same. Your mind, your will, your emotion, your imagination create disorder. Disorder creates nausea. Nausea is the result of noise. Nausea and noise are the same word. Too much noise going on. Mind chatter. So these individual neurons and your neurological networks are the nerves into which that your images form. So your image creates an electrochemical signal. And so based upon the image in your head, that produces the chemical that manifests in your body. Wrong image, wrong chemicals. I don't know if you understand my brothers. I don't know how to break this down for you, but let me make sure you understand. If you put it in your mind, it'll manifest in your life. But that's the problem, because we don't understand that your whole neuro, which is, again, really is a Greek word. This, my brothers and sisters, is the under-over understanding of how pixels establishes neuropsychology. And so neuropsychology, again, is psychology. Now, this was all taught by Imhotep back in 35,000 B.C. Imhotep understood that the power of the brain, Hippocrates, the Greek philosopher, and then Descartes comes along. And they all were saying the same thing, and it goes all the way down through history. But what were they saying? They were saying that your image, your imagination establishes your psychology. Because all education, all personal development, all schooling, all learning, everything that you develop comes from your pixels or the pictures. And this is the faculty of imaging. Imaging is the ability to use your creative imagination to form images, ideals, and concepts. Whatever image, whatever ideal, whatever concept that you produce inside of the mind is going to directly input into your senses, especially your sixth sense. And your senses are this sense. It has the capacity to organize and provide data for your perception. And this establishes your nervous system, and that controls your somatic or your CSN, which controls your electrical and your magnetic field. It controls your heart rate, water pressure. It controls everything inside of the body, your imagination, your image. So if you could imagine the right things, wow. There's no problem that you cannot solve. Because everything that you picture inside of your brain will manifest in your life. That is the power of pixels. So pixels, like in the movie, remember they came up with that cartoon movie about Pixel, about that giant thing walking around eating up stuff? That's what they was doing. Now, I'm just scratching the surface of the imagination. Now, what is the esoteric meaning of the imagination? Now, esoteric is just a fancy way of saying spiritual. So, your imagination shapes your mind, your will, your emotion, and your intellect. So, once you understand what that means that you and your imagination have to play a role in the decision-making process we're going through. So, our brain, your mind, uses your MRI, your images, to create your emotions. And so now all of the science talks about that the brain is plastic, or it has what is called plasticity. It's called brain plasticity. So your imagination can provide you with lifelike experiences, and it can give you the ability to actually develop any emotion that you want. Let me say that again. Your imagination can provide you with lifelike experiences, but they're not life. They're lifelike. Let me say that again. Your imagination can provide your brain with lifelike experiences. They're not life, but they're lifelike. Let me say that again. Your imagination can provide your brain with lifelike experiences, and the brain doesn't know it's not real. So if I can imagine a life-like relationship, if I can imagine I'm in a relationship with love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control, my brain is going to tell my CNS, my central nervous system, to release the chemicals of dopamine and serotonin and make me feel. How do I know this? Go watch a movie and tell me what you feel. Go watch some porn. No, don't go watch some porno. Go watch a scary movie. Go watch some comedy. Go watch an action-packed movie. What do you feel, brother? What do you feel? Prove it to yourself. The reason I was saying that is because sex is the most powerful energy on the planet. That's why when you watch a porno movie, a pornography, you process the image or the imagery, and that produces the reproductivity or the productivity imagery. So this constructive imagination calls a frontal lobe, what is called a prefrontal cortex, to engage in a mental synthesis. So your prefrontal cortex is the mal or the plasticity, or it is the malleable part. That means moldable. That means that your imagination shapes your brain. Father, touch the minds of your people. I don't know if you understand what I just said. Your imagination shapes the frontal cortex. Father, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Your imagination, this is called cytoarchitecture, from the Greek word cyto, which means cell, and then architecture, which means the ability to develop, again, structure. So in other words, if I want to change the cellular composite of the brain's tissue, I put an image in your head. Oh, man, I don't know if y'all understand how deep this is, man. Cytoarchitecture is the ability to remold and to reshape the brain. It's the ability to change the very neurological structure of the brain. Pictures with images. It's called phantasmagoria. It's called pixels. Why did Walt Disney develop cartoons? I don't know if y'all really want me to go down this rabbit trail. I don't even know if we have time for me to really understand, for me to break down phantasmagoria and the Phantom of the Opera. What was the Phantom of the Opera all about? It was taking psychology to erase your memory and establish a new perception and a new belief through your brain's activity. That it thinks is reality, but it's not. This is called psychosis. So I can put you, but I can change your brain's chemistry with a picture. I don't know if you understand. I don't know if you understand how dangerous images are. Visual figures, visual images. I can mentally disassemble and reassemble your frontal lobe with images. That's why images control the world. That's why pixels, how does movie theaters work? How do movies work? Movies is a bunch of still images that rotate because it changes the chemistry of the brain. It puts the brain into a hypnosis. Why is a television, why was it called television? Why did they call it a television? Why are the programs on TV called television programs? The word tele means to transport. Vision means a mental image. I don't know if you understand. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of the altered states of consciousness that's listening to me today. Who's altering your states of consciousness, brother? Who is altering your state of consciousness, sister? And how are they doing it? Images. Phantasmagoria is the ability to put you into a hypnotic state using psychosis. You call it TV. What happens to you when you watch the idiot box? Do you know that it changes your brain chemistry? How? Through your imagination. It's called role enactment. Brothers and sisters, altered state is called a trance. Flashing lights put you in a trance. Hypnotherapy, stage hypnotherapy, neuro-linguistical programming, mentalism is being performed on you every day, all day. And we don't have a clue. It changes your focus and your concentration. So let's say you want to say, "Babe, Brother Will, I'm listening to your show, dog. I'm going to focus on you." You turn on the TV. All of a sudden, your focus is gone. What happened to it? You've been put into an altered state of consciousness using a blinking light called the idiot box, a.k.a. teller. Means to transport. Vision, mental picture. That means you got a mental picture. But I'm going to take the one that you got out, and I'm going to transport a new mental picture into your head, and I'm going to use a program to do it. I'm going to use a program to program you using hypnotherapy. And I'm going to use this hypnotic induction method. And it is through pictures and pixels that I can produce an hypnotic induction, or what is called stage hypnosis, inside the brain. All mentalists do this every day, all day. Developed by a guy by the name of Franz Mesmer. Where we get the word mesmerized? Anybody been mesmerized? You can thank Franz Mesmer. Because he developed mesmerizing. Sigmund Freud, Franz Mesmer, James Baird, Immanuel Kant, David Ellman, Clark Hull, Milton Erickson. These were all cognitive behavioral scientists. Overstood phantasmagoria, a.k.a. using the imagination to alter your state of consciousness through induction hypnotic techniques that all the gurus know how to do. All of this is done by your imagination. You can do it to yourself. I highly recommend that you self-hypnotize yourself instead of allowing somebody else to hypnotize you. Because the Bible says you're going to be a slave. You're going to be a slave to righteousness, or you're going to be a slave to sin. So since I'm going to be a slave, I'm going to be a slave to the things that I want to be. So I'm going to use my own imaging and my own imagining, and I'm going to make images, and I'm going to make a visible representation of the object that I want to imitate. Because the word image is the word imitate. It is an imitation. So whatever image you have in your brain, you imitate it. You automatically, you don't have a choice. I know you think you do, but you don't. This image, brothers, this image, sisters, is the work of the one who makes images. So I'm asking the question, who makes images? What is imaginary phantasm? An imaginary phantasmagoria. It's a Latin phrase. It means an appearance. Do you know the word image means an apparition? Do you know that an image is an apparition? Do you know that the guy that developed the cathode ray tube, his name was Ray,
Why didn't he developed a catheter ray tube because he was trying to, how can I put this, capture an apparition, a.k.a. a ghost. So the word apparition, the word appearance, the word phantasmagoria, the word image, the word imaging, all of these are Latin phrases, all of these are Latin words that means I make visible. I make visible. I make visible. Your imagination, brother, your imagination, sister, is what you make visible. It's what you make visible. That's what it means in the original text, to make visible. So what are you imagining in your head? That's what you are making visible in your life. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people that they understand that this is not a game. Your mind, your will, your emotions, your imagination, your intellect makes visible in your life. Look around your life. It's the result of what you have in your mind, in your will, in your emotion, in your imagination, your intellect. And I'd be damned if anybody put an image in my head that I don't want there. And I suggest that you put the images in your head that you want. Because right now, you have been mind-elfed. The images in your head are not the ones that you want. Somebody else is beaming in images into your head. And it's through that thing that you got in your house called a television. Because it means to imitate the original. God made you an original, but now you're an imitation. Dare to be you or you're going to die a copy. You're going to die a copy of some fool you're watching on TV. Because the TV is designed to teleport. That's why it's called a TV. So that way it can put a visible representation, but it's not the original. It's a copy. And it's designed to en masse you, brother. Images come from the word en masse. That means I'm going to put a large amount of people in this box called Christianity, Buddhism, Hinduism. They use images to put people inside of boxes. What box are you in, brother? What box are you in, sister? Change your image. You're going to change your imagination. The imagination is the faculty of imaging. It's a faculty. It's the fundamental integrating process of reproducing a mental synthesis or hypnotic effect. And so it has the ability, your imagination, your constructive imagination, has the ability to change the very neurons in your side of your brain. Now, I don't know if it gets any scarier than that for me. But when I started out, we haven't even scratched the surface of the imagination. Because we haven't even got into phantasmagoria. We haven't even broke down grammar tooth and grammoria. We haven't even got into pixels or pictograms. We haven't even discussed a pictogram. The imagination, this one, so this is like a 5, 6, 7, 8 hours. So this is a series in itself. You don't even know. Do you know what a pictogram and a pictograph is? So a pictogram is called a pictogrammoria. And it is used to put symbols. That's what a hieroglyphic is. A hieroglyphic is a pictogram. It's designed to actually change the molecular or the neuroplasticity of the brain. So when you look at the Egypt hydra, these are all the same words. Hydra, multiple-headed snake. Hydra, water god. I don't know if you understand, brothers and sisters, this pictogram is the result of a picture, of a pixel or an image. That's what the Bible says. Make no graven image, because God is trying to tell you something. Dude, this is dangerous. This is dangerous when you deal with these pictograms. These are pictograms. These are ideograms. If you understand what that means, man, this has changed your whole world, because this picture has a signet. That means that a picture resembles. It reassembles because it resembles. A pictogram, an image. So what image do you have in your head that is resembling your brain cells right now as we speak? Do you look at the wrong pixels?
you're going to have the wrong brain. Hieroglyphics is the most dangerous thing you can do. Everybody that went to Egypt came back different. Everybody. Ask anybody who went to Egypt and saw the hieroglyphics themselves in person. Now, I've never been, ain't got no plan, so I'm going. Because you ever look at the definition of the word hieroglyphics? You ever look it up? These are sacred writings, but what do they mean? Those are all pixels. Those are pictograms. And these pictograms, these pixels, establishes a certain disposition. And this is all part of this whole phantasmagoria. Now, brothers and sisters, let's bring this message to a close. Phantasmagoria was developed by Walt Disney, or I should say it was perfected by Walt Disney. Phantasmagoria is shifting series of phantoms or illusions to create a imagination. Dan, let me break it down for you. Brothers and sisters, Walt Disney knew that if I can take an image and I can put them together, a bunch of still pictures together, it creates deception. It gives the illusion that something is moving when it is not. Phantasmagoria is the illusion. It is a deceptive appearance. It is a dream created by the imagination. It is an optical illusion produced by the magic lantern. Who's the magic lantern? See, phantasmagoria is two words, phantasma and goria. Grammar or grammaria or grammatus or magic. Magic phantom. Now, this comes from what? What is the word phantom? And what is the word? Let me pull this one up. This is mind blowing right here. Let me make sure that you all understand how a creation of the imagination is a mental image or a representation of a real object. This mental image or this representation of a real object is presumed
phantasm
real by the CNS or the central nervous system. Since the central nervous system presumes it is real, the central nervous system releases the neurons as if it was real, and the body, the chemistry, responds as if it's real. I don't know if you understand what I just said. Let me play the correct pronunciation of
phantasm.
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 Phantasm is an apparition. Now, let me get the correct pronunciation on this one, too, because this is another cookie blow.
Apparition. Apparition.
An apparition is a supernatural appearance of a person or a thing, especially a ghost or a phantom. Now, you have phantom DNA. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. Phantom DNA. You got a phantom image, because remember, imagination is not real. It's a phantom. Now, you have phantom DNA, and you got an image in your head. It's a phantom image. That image activates your phantom DNA. Apparition is a supernatural appearance or a person or thing, or it's a ghost. It's a spector or a phantom. Now, this is all from one thing, an imagination. Now, a spector. Let me get the correct pronunciation. You guys know I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed.
Spectre.
S-P-E-C-T-E-R. Spectre, a visible incorporeal spirit, especially one of a terrifying nature, a ghost, a phantom, a apparition. What the? So all of this is from an imagination? So you mean to tell me, phantasmagoria. So when I imagine something, I have a phantom. Because remember, your imagination is not real, brother. It's an image. It's a mirage. What the is a mirage? Again, just look it up. Now, I'm not making this stuff up. Sometimes I wish I was, because then that means it wouldn't be true. Remember.
Mirage,
an optical illusion, especially in the desert or at sea. It is by which the image of some object appears. It is how an image of an object appears. It's not its true position. So, what am I saying? The word mirage, like all of these words, I wish I had the time to break all this stuff down, man. This is what I do all day. The word image means mirror to look at oneself. Reflection. Mirage. Latin word, M-I-R-A-R-I, to wonder. It means age. Mirage is M-I-R-age. M-I-R means to look at. Age. So an image is supposed to be how you look at yourself as to how you want to age. An image is you should be putting an image in your head of where you're going, brother. You should be putting an image in your head of where you're going, sister. But what image you got in your head? You got an image in your head of where you're going? Because it should be a mirage. It should be the thing that you put in your head of where you're going. It's a mirror of your age. It's a mirror of where you're going. But that's not what we use it for. See, this image has the ability to do what? Change your reality. See, an image is designed. That's what the Bible says. Make no graven image because you don't know how to use it. We don't know how to use the power. And I've been studying this for years. It's pretty phantasmagoria. When I first researched the catheter ray tube, and I was like, they use this to capture ghosts and devils? And so the TV is designed to basically put specters and apparitions in your head. And so a TV has a swastika in it because of what the Sanskrit meaning of the word swastika. It is, the imagination is the gateway to the spiritual realm. The imagination, again, is only limited by your own perception. The gift of the imagination is the ability, again, to use it to enter into the place where apparitions, where ghosts, where devils, where demons, where the invisible realm takes place. The imagination is only limited by your perception. In your brain, in your imagination, what can you imagine like right now? Do you know that your imagination is the tool that allows you to go anywhere? Do you profound awareness that you have access to if you have and if you know how to use your imagination? Because the word imagination is the word imaging or imaginary. So the imagination is the imaginary world. It's the imagy world. That's what children use because that's where magic comes from. It is the magic kingdom. That's why Walt Disney always appeared to people's imagination, especially kids, because the kids communicate with spirit beings naturally. Kids are born with the imagination, brother, and we get it beat out of us. You ever seen the kids, and yes, and what are they doing? They say they're playing with my imaginary friend because kids are born with a fabulous imagination, and then it's killed. It's stuffed out. But what if you could activate your imagination? Do you know where you could go? Do you know what you could do? Right now I can sit here and I can imagine that I'm in Hawaii walking on the beach of Waikiki Beach because I've been there. So I know I got the images in my head from when I was stationed there. And I was in Port Lucie and I used to walk up to Camp Smith and I would go to Camp Kaneohe Bay. And I remember going around the big island. You could drive around the whole island about 6 to 8 hours. And I would drive around the whole island of Hawaii. And I would get off at the beach, and right now I can imagine. Right now, I can remember when I was in Santa Fe, and I can imagine walking inside the Supermax prison, and I can remember going to the penitentiary of New Mexico, and I remember working in there, and I remember in the Supermax, and I remember that all of those feelings, and it's like I'm back there. I feel as if I'm back in that Supermax because the imagination is a portal within. So the imagination, my brothers and sisters, it gives permission to the psyche to experience something that is right now outside of the realm of what you and I would call our ordinary reality or our ordinary experience. Because of our conditioning, because of our limited belief system, we are extremely limited by our perception of what we can define as real. But if you use your imagination, you can travel to any realm of the unknown world, and the enemy knows that. Because with your imagination, you can travel to the seventh heaven. Now, I don't recommend you doing it, because I did it. And I almost blew my cookies. I really honestly did it and woke up, and the room was like white, and my nose was pressed up against the... I imagined myself using my imagination in the presence of God, talking to God. And that feeling, I can't even describe it in the English language. There's no words to describe the feeling of being in the presence of God. The lower I got, I couldn't get lower. And I was pressing my face into the carpet that I was praying. I had fasted, I don't know how many days, and I was like, man, I wanted to see God. And I don't know if I should have asked that. Would I do that again? No, I've never done it since. Because I was like teleported. Presence of the big G. And like my body, it's like I felt like I was going to pop. Like my body couldn't contain the presence. It was too powerful. It was too overwhelming. I like almost lost my mind because of the power of the imagination that allows you to travel to places and the brain thinks it's real. You could actually suffer from a massive heart attack. I started hyperventilating. I lost my breath. I couldn't breathe. Things got blurry. And when I opened my eyes, that was like I was in a cloud. I was just like, and I remember I started to panic. I started breathing. I almost passed out. Because the brain doesn't understand that it's not real. What you find out, brothers and sisters, as you will continue, especially if you continue to hang out with me in 2017, that God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Spirits are alive and well. They exist in other realities that you can't see with your physical eye. You can't touch with your physical hands. You can't taste with your physical mouth. You can't smell with your physical nose. You can't hear with your physical ears. But the imagination can. The imagination can provide you with the avenue to connect with these multiple and these other dimensions. I don't advise it if you don't know what the hell you're doing. Because what's happening is people are using this and they get in contact with stuff and they bring in stuff back. That's what happened in Project CERN. And they open up this portal and this gateway and all these scientists says, hey, we brought back something that they call antimatter. They went into another dimension, and then when they came back, entities came with them into this dimension. So if you use your imagination and you develop it and you allow it to expand, to create, and you allow it to grow, and you allow it to, you know, to go into the different spiritual and these other dimensions, you better know what you're doing. The imagination is a very, very dangerous thing if you don't know what you're doing. Now, I don't do fear. I do reality. I do common sense, but I don't do fear. The imagination is a spiritual tool. And as we go through this particular series and go deeper into understanding heteronomics and the household management of the soul, we're going to talk about everybody on this planet has a unique path. And your imagination, along with all of the other avenues of the soul, was given to you by your creator. And God gave you your mind, your will, your emotion, your imagination, and your intellect because God wants you to use it. So your imagination is a gift. It is one of the most powerful tools on earth, along with all of the other parts of the soul. It's supposed to be a holistic approach. See, you cannot create anything you want from life if you cannot see as being possible. Period. It's never going to happen for you, brother. It is never going to happen for you, sister, unless you can see it. In order for your dreams to manifest into this reality, you must first have a distinct vision. You must have a mental picture and do what it says in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 4, verse 2. Take the vision, write it down, make it plain so that those that see it in their mind's eye can run with it. They can navigate it. Your mental image, that is why everybody putting images in your head to prevent you from navigating through life. Because if you get an image in your head, a crystal clear image in your head of wealth, health, wisdom and positivity in the areas of relationship with yourself, with your God, with others. If you have a vision that is crystal clear and nothing, as it says in 1 Kings at the Tower of Babel, when all of the people was on one accord and they had one language, meaning that they had a single image. Every single one of us have a vision. It's called your purpose. The imagination is the only state of mind that allows you to be free from all of the limiting reality that you live in. When you go into your imagination, there is no limits. That's the problem. I can imagine anything in my brain, and my body doesn't know that it's not real. So if you live in your imagination, it's damaged because you'll never actually do nothing. You just think and talk about it, but you'll never do it. Unless you combine your mind and your will and your emotion and your intellect. If you only use your imagination, you are a dreamer. And the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the sluggard dreams dreams, and he has nothing. The imagination will take you into this. Do you know that people sit, grown men sit, and I'm trying to finish, grown men sit in their chair, play video games all day. They imagine. They use their imagination to create a vision of playing these video games, and they actually think that they're in Mortal Kombat. They actually think they're in whatever these video games that they play, and so the imagination sustains or gives them what is called the essence of sustained reality. And so they think that the dream world is the real world, and it's not. And so they confuse the imagination with real, because the brain thinks it's real. So you actually have the psychological impact. Your imagination connects you continuously with a sustained motivation. And you are you think you're doing something, but you're not. You never get out of your chair. You never go outside. You can watch videos of building a deck. You can watch that video, and you can watch it, and you think, the brain thinks that you are building a deck. It releases the chemicals like you're building a deck. You think that you built a deck, and you ain't done shiznits. You still sit in the same freaking chair. You ain't moved. That's the danger of the imagination. Without willpower, without emotion, without mind, without intellect, you will sit there, and you will watch videos, and you will think that you're doing something. You think you're making money. You think that you're actually being effective, and you ain't done nothing. You're living in your head. You're living in your imagination. You ain't got up, and you ain't moved. In a video game, you get up like, woof, man, I'm tired. You ain't done nothing. You are allowing your imagination to flow freely, and your imagination is creating a chemical response, and you're getting all of the endorphin, you're getting all the serotonin, you're getting melatonin, you're getting all of the cortisone. Your body is releasing all of the chemicals as if you are actually doing the act, and you ain't moved a muscle. That is the most dangerous thing that you could ever do to yourself. Your body is hardwired to respond to your imagination, and your mind responds to pictures that you put in your imagination. Your body is hardwired to respond to the pictures that you put into your imagination, not into the things that your hand touch. You can be totally entertained in your head and never move your body. And your body thinks it's moving. That is the most dangerous thing. You mean to tell me I could think I'm doing something and I'm not doing it, and I could fool my own self? Absolutely. With your imagination. Your imagination is a curse and a gift. Like everything else, is a two-edged sword. It all depends on how you use it. Brothers and sisters, out of all of the pieces of your soul, the one thing that you don't want to get stuck in is in the imaging world. Because if you get stuck in that world, it is all about mental pictures that you create. And if you do not understand that your emotions and your behaviors are tied to the images that you visualize, this creates a very powerful combination. If you don't understand that this internalized truth is a result of the imagination of your preference. So if you got the wrong images, you're going to have the wrong emotions, you're going to have the wrong behavior. And you will not find your life's purpose. Everything I'm telling you is not going to make sense because you got the wrong images in your head. But if you can get the right image in your head, if you mess around and put the right image in your head and you find your life's purpose and you visualize it, every mental picture, just like them guys down in Houston, Texas, that started a company called Pen and Pixel, and every image that they put on the cover of the magazine manifested in their life. You will do the same thing in your life. All you need is the right image. Brothers and sisters, I know I'm way over on time. I just got caught up because this is a very powerful subject. Thank everybody so much for joining me on today's show. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May the sun bless you. His name is Yahushua. May the Ruach, man, continue to lead you and guide you with the right pixels and the right pictures, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate and control you with the wrong ones. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.